Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cowboys practicing this week. OTAs. Yesterday it was open to the media. There is a full write-up from Brian Broaddus, the best football brand in the Metroplex at DallasCowboys.com. And Broaddus is joining us now on the BuyerSafety.com hotline. What was on the grill last weekend? I haven't seen you relaxing in a while. You bailed on our crawfish party. You totally left us for the first time in a couple years. So what were you grilling?
Went pork butts is what I did.
Oh.
Yeah, and I did something that I've always wanted to try to do. I've got this seasoning, this Harley seasoning that I use from Central Texas. And so I was really interested to see, you know, it's the first weekend that I've had to be able to do something. I hope we can still do our crawfish boil sometime. I know that your busy schedule, I follow you on social media, and it seems you're always out of town, sunning somewhere, drinking something.
Sunning.
hanging out at high-class restaurants, you know. So I'll take my crawfish slap in the face for your lifestyle. But yeah, no, I was excited to get to finally have a Saturday where I didn't have to do anything. And so I enjoyed getting out. It was a nice day, too, to be able to grill. So had a lot of fun.
Now, with the pork butt, if you were going to cook a fish with that, would you cook crappie?
Chop.
I know it's mispronounced.
You're not allowed to talk about any grilling.
Yeah.
Any smoking.
Come on, it's a punny joke. Come on now.
It's a punny joke.
No smoking or grilling.
Yeah, no smoking or grilling.
So last year you told us early. I know that there's been a lot of talk about Dak friendly and the offense and the offense evolving. Yesterday Jason Garrett talked about it evolving in some different verbiage and language with Kellen Moore. Are you buying it early or you're going to hold out till training camp?
Well, it would be no fun if I came on this program and held out till training camp. I mean, you guys only have me once a week. But I will say this. I will do this. What I've seen, okay, it seems like to me just in the one day where Kellen Moore might be different just initially than what we've seen in the past. And they talk about getting into the same personnel group but running different plays.
Yep.
I noticed to me that it seemed to appear like when you watch the Rams play, they get in a lot of tight formation when they get, you know, two receivers on each side and they play real close to the tackles. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is something that we haven't seen in the past here because they tend to spread out and try and kind of get you along the, you know, it's like, you know, work you more horizontally than vertically kind of a thing. So I feel like, though, that maybe some of the, when I was watching it yesterday, I saw more tight formation. Matter of fact, one of the best throws that Prescott made yesterday was Michael Gallup won right off the line on a tight formation. Like he was almost like in the slot.
Yeah.
And he won, you know, Anthony Brown was on him in good position. And Gallup with a real quick swim move. He's in the clear on the slant, and Prescott just like three quarter sidearms the ball underneath, you know, Robert Quinn jumping up in the air. And so the ball gets to him. Now they got Gallup on the move, you know, and that those are good things. So, you know, with tight formation stuff, you can get in 11 personnel and do things like that. And again, it's kind of what the Rams are doing. If you remember the playoff game last year, they were able to run the ball out of 11 personnel because they were getting their receivers were doing a really good job of kind of blocking on the edges or helping on the edges. But then again, they were running a lot of different plays out of that, just that personnel group. I think the idea for Kellen Moore is going to be not to get into a bunch of different personnel groups. I think the idea is going to be try and maintain the same personnel group, but run a lot of plays out of that personnel group. It just seemed like that every time last year we looked up for them to run the ball, oh, they got to get in 12 personnel. Oh, they got to bring Noah Brown on the field. Oh, they got to bring, you know, Cole Beasley's got to come on the field. I mean, it just seemed like they were always trying to find things to, they had to use different personnel groups just to try and run plays. And I think Kellen Moore is more interested in keeping the same personnel group on the field, but trying to run more plays out of just having a similar personnel group so you don't really get a beat on what they're doing. And so I think that if you want to take away from something yesterday, just schematically, the way it looked on the field, it looked like it was a little bit more tight tight formation than what we'd seen in the past.
So the most exciting thing that I read from your recap yesterday was Connor Williams against Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
Fish sounded pretty surprised that Connor Williams, and you did too, that Connor Williams was playing left tackle.
Yeah, I was. I thought that this would be a situation. You know, they only have us get to watch the one day of practice on Wednesday. So if I thought if they were going to look at Connor Williams, they would probably do it without the media watching the practice.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is something that I thought we would see during training camp. But, you know, they got a little jump on it with Tyron Smith taking a veteran day yesterday, or the way they're practicing at least twice a week and not full three practices. Well, you know, Connor Williams got the opportunity to jump out there at left tackle. I was a little bit surprised because I thought that he would maybe get to start over at right tackle.
Yeah, who was playing right?
Well, they had a Campos there was the right tackle, though. So, I mean, that's where I think that, to me, it was – you know, a little bit different because I'm thinking, okay, if Lyle Collins is not going to practice, then, okay, why are we, you know, Jake Campos is going to be, you know, it was over there on the right side. I'm thinking, well, if it's no Lyle Collins, then go ahead and put Connor Williams over there and let's see what he looks like at right tackle. But they went ahead and said, let's go big. They put him on that left side and he had a nice little battle over there, you know, and again, it's enough to where you could see, okay, get your feet positioned, get your feet and your hands positioned to block. And Robert Quinn has still got a little juice in that tank to kind of present some problems. Where Connor Williams was able to get the better of him, though, is when they ran the ball. Connor Williams was able to get into him and get some movement on him and kind of shield him, keep him away from the ball. So, you know, it was a kind of a 50-50 day for Connor Williams. But overall, I thought it was some good work for him to play over on that left side.
Brian brought us buyersafety.com hotline from DallasCowboys.com. You said be careful about throwing dirt on Jordan Lewis's grave.
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Well, I think that Jordan Lewis, we're all kind of looking at Jordan Lewis and saying, okay, he doesn't fit the prototype of what Chris Richard wants to play with. You know, he's not tall. He's got his arm length is good, but he's also in a situation, though, too, where they've brought in a lot of guys. They've drafted some guys. They've signed some guys as undrafted guys. They had some guys that were on the practice squad last year that they're interested in. And so, you know, I kind of feel like, though, that Jordan Lewis has been a guy that people just really haven't given a lot of respect to. He's one of the better defensive backs they've got on this team. I don't care how short he is. You watch him cover. You watch how competitive he is. He could play on the outside. He could play on the inside. You know, I think it would be a huge mistake for us to sit here and think, okay, well, what about all these other corners? You know, let's not worry about Jordan Lewis. He's not going to be here. Well, I think that's a huge mistake because, like I just said, he can cover. He's competitive. He'll battle. You know, he makes plays. You know, you saw the Saints game, what he was able to do last year. He's capable of having versatile things in the scheme that you can do with him. So hopefully the Cowboys will see that and continue to use him the way they need to.
You know, you mentioned, you know, he wants, you know, Chris Richard wants guys with size. Is that a is that an odd kind of thing to want? I mean, I know it worked with him in Seattle with Sherman and Browner, but you don't see a lot of 6'3 corners out there.
No, because there's not a lot of 6'3 corners playing in college football. But he finds them. He goes around. Now, this was a really unusual year for college football. We had, you know, the kids at Kentucky. We had the kid at Houston. We had the kid at Vanderbilt. You know, there were several cornerbacks. There were 6'2 and better that were in college football this year. And it's just rare to find those guys. Now, again, what's happening is a lot of people, and this happened with Westery, who's with the team now, mm-hmm. from Kentucky. He was a receiver that was converted to cornerback. So maybe that's what you're going to see, the trend of these guys that really, these tall guys that can't catch well, they move them to cornerback, and maybe we'll see more of that. But it's just overall, though, it's very, very rare to have guys that are 6'2 or better playing at cornerback. So that's going to be the big test now is, you know, the Cowboys have a couple of those guys where they can, you know, and then that's, again, and that's where Richard, I mean, he's done great things. You know, you look at, you know, with how he played at Seattle with all those guys with length and that success that they had. Richard Sherman was really a fifth-round pick, you know, and didn't run all that well coming out of Stanford. But, man, he made it work because Chris Richard is really, really big on technique and how you position yourself in the route.
So earlier this morning I ranked the three corners after Byron, and I wanted to see what you thought of it.
Okay.
I went Cheeto, Anthony Brown, Jordan.
Yeah.
How would you reorder that after Byron?
Well, I think to me, I would take Jordan Lewis over Anthony Brown myself is what I would do. I really do like Cheeto. I you know, if you talk about just, you know, athletic ability, I think he's, you know, one of the top ones they have. I love the fact of how Lewis competes. I just think that he is so gritty and tough, and he doesn't back down. I mean, he's one of those guys that I think he gets beat up a lot because, again, you know, a coaching change. He was drafted a year too early, really, for here. I mean, he goes anywhere else, he's probably a starter. You know, but here he's a backup player, but he fights every time he goes on the field. I really, really like that a lot. I like Anthony Brown's athletic ability as well. I like his quickness. I like his speed. I think when they took him out of the starting role, he actually kind of was a wake-up call for him, and he got better as, you know, in the role that they were playing him in. So, but I would say that to me, Awuzie and Lewis are very close. They were very close when they came out of college, when they were drafted in the same class. You know, people were kind of going back and forth on both those guys, and you know, if you talk to the scouts here, they're like, hey, watch this Awuzie, and I'm like, well, hey, watch this Lewis, you know, kind of thing. So I think you have them right, but I would flip the order of, like I say, with Brown and Lewis.
Brian brought us full recap of Cowboy OTAs on DallasCowboys.com. You pointed out the blocking of Tony Pollard. Fish said he had a big 50-yard run. And what did you notice from Tristan Hill?
Well, Tristan Hill, I thought, I'll start with him, though. He was, you know, they play him at that under tackle or the three technique, and everybody's asking me about, you know, Gerald McCoy and stuff like that and Ndamukong Suh and all, you know, why would you not, you know, and Sue's more of a one than he is really a three, but he could play the three. But McCoy would be a guy that you would kind of consider there. But I think this is where the leg work of Rod Marinelli really is what could pay off for this team. You know, he went down to Orlando. He did the workout, spent a lot of time with this kid. They brought him in on the third visit. He comes in, you know, he looks like he's in really good physical condition. He looks really good coming off the ball. Yesterday, you know, they put him at that under tackle. You know, he's a hard guy to block because he has a feel for how to attack gaps, and that's what the under tackle has to be able to do in this scheme, is you have to be able to get upfield, get your shoulder past the blocker. Don't let him get their head across you to cut you off. And they had a hard time yesterday getting him cut off. Once he's on the move, and that's something I think that you saw in that film at, you know, at Central Florida that he was able to do, and it's kind of carried over, at least, you know, as the drills, as I watched yesterday of him. Once he attacks that gap, he's hard to deal with. Now, on the other side, Pollard, you worry about some of the questions about him were him as a blitz pickup guy. The catching part, the running part was not going to be an issue. It's like, okay, how well could he be as a pass protector? And yesterday, a good example of this is, you know, you just, with no pads, you want to make sure that they know their assignments and who they're supposed to get. The last thing you want to do is put him on the field and have him get Dak killed, you know, on a blind shot or something like that. So, you know, they brought a slot blitz, you know, off the corner with Mike Jackson came off the slot it was Deku came off the slot and on a slot blitz, they dropped the end in coverage and brought the blitz, and it didn't fool him, Pollard, at all. He stepped right up to the edge, right where he needed to be, picked up the guy, and then worked Deku past past the quarterback. So I think that's the things you want to look for. If a guy understands who he's supposed to block, you know, hopefully, you know, Gary Brown will be able to teach him, like, if you know who to block, then now let's put the physical part of it to it and work on that. And I think that just was a pretty good start for him, knowing, you know, in the second practice that who I'm supposed to pick up on the edge on a blitz pickup.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.